you reject Christ, and then the only main Western alternative is postmodernism, because modernism is dead, and postmodernism is just really continuing on from where modernism left off, death of God, and so postmodernism is the death of the West, what's left but the East? And so what I'm arguing for is that postmodernism is going to give way to Eastern thought, which in Western terminology, in Western ways of thinking, is New Age, the New Age movement, or neo-paganism. So, okay. So now we need to look a little bit closer at postmodern views. Postmodernism, as we mentioned, denies absolute truth. There's no meta-narrative. Let me explain something. When Christianity was the reigning view in Western thought, okay, the most prestigious branch of knowledge, what do you think the most prestigious branch of knowledge would be? If you were going to go for a degree, what would be like the ultimate degree to get when Christianity is the dominant view of Western culture?
Theology,
exactly. But then, when modernism, rejection of God through modernism, when that reigns supreme, what do you think would be the ultimate degree that someone would seek? What's that?
Science.
What did you say? That was physics is part of science. Science and or philosophy. Because either way, you know, it's interesting. Science really is the word for knowledge, and philosophy means love of wisdom, philos and sophia, two Greek words. But, you know, branches of knowledge, you know, and it was thought that, you know, if you were into theology, you were just studying about it, you know, fairy tales about a dead God and a dead religion. Okay? Now, with postmodernism, postmodernism says, no, wait a minute. Not only is God dead, but reason is dead. So a postmodernist wouldn't say, well, what's the big deal about a degree in science or a degree in philosophy? There is no truth. So when there are no truths, okay, all that's left, all we do, you know, when I speak, when you speak, if we're not speaking truths, or at least if we're not at least trying to speak the truth, or claiming to speak the truth, then what are we doing? We're telling stories. So all of a sudden, the narrative, rational arguments get thrown out the window, and the narrative, the story, takes the preeminent position. And so what do you think the most prestigious degree would be for postmodernists?
Literature,
which is exactly what James Sire has his PhD degree in, wrote The Universe Next Door, our textbook, which is, I mean, it's like he's a man born for this age. And so basically, you're going to hear a lot of talking about narratives, stories, rather than rational arguments. So you go from philosophical debate, philosophical dialogue, to telling stories. That's how big the transition is. And that's why the ancient myths are making a comeback, because they're stories. And you know, many of the ancient philosophers did not believe in the ancient myths. It was like, hey, when an earthquake happens, we don't know how to naturally explain that. We don't know what the causes are. So let's just, you know, explain it as this, you know, the myth of some god gets angry and rumbles the earth and all. Now, we intellectuals know that that's not true, but at least it makes us feel a little better having some kind of story that explains it, even if it really isn't telling the truth. Well, postmodernist says that's all we have, our myths. Well, what the postmodernist is basically saying, it's not even, let's appease the little folks. That was the Greek philosopher and the Roman emperors as well. Postmodernist, it's real ugly, because it's like, hey, no stories are true. But I like a story, and my community likes a story. And if we get enough people in my community liking that story, we will cram it down the throats of every other human being, whether they like it or not. And so postmodernism starts out so tolerant. This is the new tolerance, is postmodernism. The belief that all religions are equally true and all behavior is equally wholesome, because really, truth, falsity, wholesomeness, those are meaningless terms, really. But this is what political correctness is all about. It's a child of postmodernism. You know, President Clinton, he didn't arrive at his views through rational thought. He arrived at his views through his will and his emotions. He believed what he wanted to believe. So when people question his beliefs, question one of his views, instead of responding rationally, he lashes out emotionally and attacks the person. Sees if he can dig up dirt on the guy. And Newt Gingrich had a lot of disagreements, and I'm not even a fan of Gingrich, but he had a lot of disagreements with former President Clinton, and they were fighting back and forth, and then all of a sudden one day he just decided to pay some big fine and just step down, and all I knew was that Bill Clinton, nobody knew exactly I think there were over 900 FBI files that the Clinton administration had illegally taken control of and downloaded. So all they have to do is suggest you're one of those files. But that's, I think, is a product of postmodernism. When it rears its ugly head, there is no such thing as right and wrong. The word sex doesn't mean the same thing for different people. So a president can perjure himself. The word is doesn't have to mean the same thing. That's all postmodernism being used when it's convenient to use it. But political correctness is all about that. Whatever the case, so you're going to hear a lot about no absolute truth as no meta-narrative. In other words, there's no narrative, no story above all other stories that encompasses everybody. Each community has their own story. And there's no story that is universally true for all cultures and all communities at all times and all places. Okay? But let me say something else about postmodernism. What do you think the closest a modernist can get to postmodernism without being a postmodernist? It's actually one of the chapters in the book. Because there's a brand of modernism that rejects absolute truth, existentialism, yeah. But still, what still makes that modernism and not postmodernism, you still have an individual, okay, The reason has been stripped away. See, modernism starts with the rational individual. I think, therefore I am. Rene Descartes. One person. He's acting as if a person isn't influenced by their culture. They're not influenced by their community and stuff, okay? So you got the rational person, the individual. With modernism you have the rational individual. With existentialism, rationalism has been thrown out the window. Now you have irrationalism, a leap of blind faith through an act of the will, but you still have the individual. Okay? Postmodernism says not only does reason go out the window, the individual goes out the window. You are a product of your community. You're what your community makes you. Okay? And I think there's an element of truth to that. I've been influenced by the Portuguese culture, the Italian culture. I've been very influenced by being American. Now I'm very influenced by the Christian community. At the same time, if we are nothing but what our communities make us, how do you explain radical conversions? Like when a Hindu converts to Christianity, accepts Jesus as Savior. It sounds to me like there's an individual there coming out of one community and joining another community. So you just can't say that we're nothing but the products of our community, which is what postmodernism does. So basically, truth is relative in postmodernism to one's community or one's social group. In postmodernism, the focus is on meaning, feelings, and the will. So in other words, they're looking for meaning in life. And they don't mean real meaning in life, but something that feels meaningful to them. And they don't care so much what's true. What do I feel like believing? What do I want to be true? Okay? And these postmodernists, man, they'll get together. It's like, one guy will say, hey, I want to have sex with other men. My emotions move me in that direction. My passions move me in that direction. And so he'll look and say, okay, and you want to kill babies before they're born. And then this other person has this other, you want to outlaw all businesses that might harm the environment and that type of thing. And you want to, save the whales or whatever. And so these little postmodern communities will network together until all, it's like, well, the radical environmentalist group, the radical women's livers group. I'm not talking ladies who want just equal rights for ladies. I'm talking ladies who believe that every abortion is a victory for the woman over the man, and that men have messed up the planet, and now men need to turn the leadership over to ladies, and ladies should rule the world. That's the radical women's lib movement. And so the radical women's livers, radical environmentalists, radical homosexual activists, the list goes on. These are radicals. They're small communities. But they're all grouping together so that in the end, these small special interest groups are forcing their lack of morality down the throats of the majority of Americans.
I was watching on Fox News something about a book that was written that was supposed to have sex with children.
Mm-hmm.
And pushing, I think, that it's okay.
Yeah, that's one of the inconsistencies of modernism, is the denial of absolute morality, yet modernists continue to make moral value judgments. Now with postmodernists, you'll have postmodernists who are continuing to make moral value judgments, but it seems like they're starting to become more and more open. And it's scary once you open the floodgates, but the fact of the matter is, God made us moral beings. We have to make moral value judgments. We have to call something right and something wrong. unfortunately, I think the end result is going to be to call everything that is right wrong and everything that is wrong right. Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And that's what political correctness is. The final stage in the decay of a civilization, Paul outlines that in Romans 1. And it starts out with the denial of God. You reject the existence of the Creator God. I mean, you're not saved just by believing in a Creator. You have to trust in Jesus for salvation. But that which sustains a culture entails acknowledging the moral laws of the Creator God. So first, when a society rejects the Creator God, then they speculate, look for alternatives, profess to be wise, become fools, but the rejection of the Creator God leads to idolatry, worshiping false gods, and immorality. But the final stage is in verse 32 of Romans 1. It says, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And so it's not just immorality, the doing of immorality. I mean, 100 years ago, there were homosexuals, but they were in the closet. They basically committed their sins. I mean, you could have two co-workers who are lifelong friends who are both homosexuals and both attracted to each other, yet for fear of losing their friendship they don't share with each other the fact that they're homosexuals and they're attracted to each other. And so you could have guys who were homosexuals who only had sexual relations with one or two guys their whole lives. Okay? Nowadays we have not only immorality but the promotion, the active promotion and public approval of evil, to the point where it's not uncommon for some homosexuals to have over 20,000 different partners during their lifetime, and they don't even know the names of most of them. Many homosexuals have 1,000 different partners each year. A lot of practicing homosexuals, Tim LaHaye wrote his book in 1978, The Unhappy Gays, that really spilled the beans on the homosexual community. And it is basically when a society tolerates homosexuality, so you have like Gay Pride Day and gay marches, I mean, then it's like, a guy doesn't have, homosexual doesn't have to worry. He thinks, look, there's, 5,000 guys who are homosexual. Gay bars, gay bathhouses will have a back room, where they just go and in the dark, indiscriminately have sex with, multiple different partners. Many homosexuals are airplane stewards, because in every major city there's a homosexual community. So when you stop over in one major city, you can, but this is, this is the promotion of you. It's not just, it's bad enough to kill an unborn baby. It's bad enough to commit a homosexual act. But to actively be proud of and promote the homosexual lifestyle, the pro-abortion lifestyle, and to act like anybody who disagrees with you or calls your actions wrong is an intolerant bigot. I mean, that's when you're clenching your fist at God and you're just begging for judgment. And that's what political correctness is all about, and that's where postmodernism leads. And so it's not just immorality, but it is the active and prideful promotion of immorality. It's not just doing that which is an abomination before God, but it is arguing that this is the right thing. So it's like this. We started with God's moral absolutes, God's commands, then to an age of moral relativism, no absolutes. We're past that. Postmodernism, okay, is bringing us the new absolutes. Now, they don't believe that they're absolutes, but they treat them as absolutes. So like new absolutes, all behavior is equally wholesome. So it's intolerant to call homosexuality a sin. A woman's right to privacy and right with her body to do with her body what she chooses means she has an absolute right to have an abortion. And anybody who disagrees is intolerant. So basically the new absolutes, it's Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. It's the promotion of evil as good and the demotion of good and calling it evil.
So what do they say about all these kidnapping laws? If you ask
They're very inconsistent, but what we see here is at homosexual parades, gay marches, there will be like NAMBLA, North American Man Boy Love Association. Now, I believe they want it legalized. They want it legalized so that adult men, can have sex with consenting 8-year-old boys. There's another organization that also marches at the gay pride parades that wants to drop that age to 4 years. 4 years of age. Now, that doesn't mean that all homosexuals are for that. But what I'm saying is, you know, when you say there are no moral absolutes, okay, and you Christians are wrong because you draw a line. You say on one side is good, the other side is evil. There are no lines. That's what the moral relativist says. But then he draws lines. And I'm glad they draw some lines and say, well, pedophilia is evil and stuff. The fact of the matter is, so the question isn't, do you draw lines? Everybody draws lines. The question is, are you drawing your lines in the right place? But basically, the floodgates are being open. In the end, what will happen if Western culture does not return to the God of the Bible? What is going to happen is the arbitrary laws that are made will be laws that protect not the inalienable God-given rights of man, but the interest of the state, the interest of those in power. Okay? So, you know, sexually promiscuous people are easy to enslave. Because they're too busy involved in their sex to care about issues like human rights and stuff like that. People who are even caught up with if sports is everything to you. It makes you people who are all caught up in entertainment and diversions are very easy to enslave. People who worship the earth, historically, people who worship the earth are very easy to enslave. Earth-worshipping cultures are usually very primitive, and they get taken over by another tribe and enslaved. So I believe those in positions of power are going to basically arbitrarily dictate the new morality in such a way that it best protects the interests of the state. You can be free to drink and do drugs probably because a drug addict and an alcoholic is easier to enslave than a sober person. At the same time, it might reach a certain level to where they might say, you know something? Our slaves are being very unproductive because they're getting too drunk. So then there could be a backlash and that type of thing. So I don't know what the moral laws are going to look like, but I do know, A, they're going to be, if we don't repent, it's going to be very anti-Christian. And B, It's going to be the state's rights, the government's rights, the political leader's rights, not the rights of the other people. And what those, it's like the communists, when they talk about the rights of the people, what they're talking about, they say, well, the people collectively, we're talking about the rights of the people collectively, not individually. You know? It's wrong for an individual to put his rights up against the rest of everybody else. So it's the rights of the people collectively. And we, the state, we have your best interest in mind. We, the communist leaders, so we will determine what is best for the people collectively. And so then they end up enslaving the people. They're just lying through their teeth. So whenever you define the people in a collective manner so that the state is the people, like the communists do, you know, what's wrong with this picture? So in the end we're going to see, you know, laws that protect the state. All this, though, I think is stemming from postmodernism, but keep in mind, they get away from reason, they focus on meaning, feelings, and the will, and then they focus on the community. So they're not individual relativist. It's not what's right for you is right for you, doesn't have to be right for me, and vice versa. What's true for you is true for you, doesn't have to be true for me, and vice versa. They're not individual relativists, they're cultural relativists. So your culture or your community that has molded you determines what is right for you and your community and what is true for you and your community. Okay, so again, people are being viewed collectively, not as individuals. There's a big focus on mystery, beauty, and narratives and stories. We're going to talk a little bit later on how I think we should witness the postmodernists, but again, they deny absolute morality. There's a heavy emphasis on tolerance, but it's the new tolerance. You know, traditional tolerance used to be freedom of religion. You know, Muslim free to be a Muslim, Christian free to be a Christian, and they can disagree with each other. And a Christian can believe only Christians are going to heaven, a Muslim can believe only Muslims are going to heaven. That was traditional tolerance. The new tolerance, you have to believe all religions are equally true, and all behavior is equally wholesome, or you're intolerant, and then in the name of tolerance, we can't tolerate you. What are we going to do? Confiscate your property, imprison you, maybe put you to death? Who knows what's on the agenda once postmodernism, you know, spreads its claws. The postmodernist rejects dichotomous thinking. Dichotomous thinking sees everything in black and white, two different sides, such as either or true or false, or right or wrong. Okay? So they reject dichotomous thinking. It's both and, it's not either or. It's not true and false, right and wrong. They reduce all authority to power. See, authority is the right to be obeyed or believed. If you're on trial for committing a crime and your lawyer is trying to make a case that you're insane, your defense attorney is going to bring a psychologist who's going to take the stand and say that you're insane. And the prosecuting attorney is going to put a psychologist on the stand to say you're not insane. Okay? Why are psychologists taking the stand? Because they have earned the right to be heard, because they have studied what is sanity and what is insanity. Okay? And so they're experts who have earned the right to be obeyed or believed in a certain area. And so the only way to cancel out one authority is with another equal authority who disagrees. But power is not the right to be obeyed or believed. It's not authority, but it's the ability to make others obey or believe you. Okay? So in other words, it's not... it's not Ronald Reagan winning your allegiance because he's proven to you that his view is right. It's Bill Clinton winning your allegiance because he's cried, and now he's got you to cry, and he's convinced you that he feels your pain. Now, I don't know if you see what I'm getting at there, but it's basically good preaching. You got to be able to tell stories. You got to be able to capture people's emotions and their will. At the same time, good preaching preaches the truth. Postmodernists don't believe there's any such thing as truth. So the difference is not that Ronald Reagan was passionate in his speeches, because Bill Clinton's also passionate in his speeches. The difference is Ronald Reagan came from at least a nominally Christian worldview, where he believed that there is such a thing as truth. There is such a thing as right and wrong. So when he's arguing for his position, he's trying to get you, he's basically trying to claim, I have the authority, I've earned the authority, I've earned your respect, because my position is true or right. Bill Clinton doesn't believe in true or right. It's a whole different world out there now. We've got a lot of political leaders that don't believe in truth or in absolute morality. Yet, they still want us, they still want our allegiance. So they're leaving the realm of authority and saying, I've earned your allegiance. And now it's just, hey, look, I have the charisma, period. I have the ability. I've mastered the sound bites. I can pull on, tug on the strings of your heart and make you follow me, but I don't even believe there is such a thing as truth. I have my views. I don't believe they're true, but I want them. I want to believe them. I love my views with passion, and I want you to side with me. And so I have the ability to persuade you to follow me. I'm not claiming to have the truth. That's scary. To me, that's very scary. For somebody to say, there's no such thing as truth, but I have some things I want to believe. And if I can force these beliefs, if I can fool people into getting those same beliefs as me, desiring the same beliefs, it's scary. So basically, they reduce all authority to power, and they believe in power narratives, power stories, the story that makes you cry and persuades you, rather than the rational argument that convinces your mind, yes, this guy is right, this view is right, or this view is true. Rather than the rational arguments, the power narrative that captures your heart. Okay? So again, it's mastering the soundbite rather than the long logical argument that proves its case. It would be like applied to like the Martha Stewart thing. And by the way, I've got no bad feelings for Martha Stewart, and even if she's guilty, I wouldn't lose any sleep if she got away with it and lived happily ever after. But it would be like if the jury, if all this rational evidence is against Martha Stewart, but the jury says, yeah, but we like Martha Stewart, she's innocent. And possibly insider trading, she got some tips from insiders that that the stocks were going to take a nosedive, so she sold them all the day before they took a nosedive. And supposedly what she did in her position, what she did wasn't illegal. It's unethical, but it wasn't illegal. But her cover-up on it is the illegal stuff. But whatever the case, this is a true, this really happened. The most hated man in town, he was a wealthy guy that was trying to buy out everybody, you know, and one of his cows was stolen by one of the poorest guys in town, but the guy was a real nice guy. He was a popular guy. So the jury, the judge asked, have you reached your verdict? And the jury said, yes. We find a defendant not guilty, but he has to return the cow. And so they were basically, making a decision with their heart, not with their minds. So the judge told them he wouldn't accept it. So they had to go back and deliberate for another week or so, and then they came back and they said, okay, what is your verdict? And they came back, this was a small town, they came back with this verdict. So yes, Your Honor, our verdict is that he's not guilty, and he can keep the cow. So, again, they were still, basically, it's like, we don't like the other guy. And so that's what postmodernism does. Postmodernism has us throw reason out the window, and you pick your favorite story or your favorite personality. Yeah, and see, the thing is modern, did modernism have it right? No, modernism was too much of an overemphasis on reason. Does postmodernism have it right? No, too much of a de-emphasis of reason and too much of an overemphasis on the will and the emotions. But a good balance of the good qualities of modernism and the good qualities of postmodernism while trashing the bad qualities of both, and you come up with, solid biblical Christianity and in good preaching. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones defined preaching as logic on fire, proclaiming the truth with passion. And so I cannot stand a guy who's passionate in his preaching if he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's not grounded in the truth. Get the guy out from behind the pulpit. At the same time, even guys who are real knowledgeable in the truth, if they've got no passion, they shouldn't be preaching. Maybe teaching in a Bible college, but they shouldn't be preaching. I mean, I get passionate about Raider football. So if I can't get passionate about God's Word, I got no business, getting behind a pulpit on Sunday mornings. And so I think we need power narratives coupled with, that are based on rational arguments. But modernism says rational arguments only. Postmodernism says power narratives only. And they're both real ugly. Postmodernists argue that we create our own reality through language. So language doesn't represent reality, doesn't represent truth the way things are. Language is just a game we play to try to catch people in our web, to exercise our power over other people so they get caught up in what we want to be reality, because there is no reality, so language doesn't really represent it. Language is just a power game. Deconstruction is the postmodern attempt to replace the author or the speaker's meaning with the meaning of our community. So black theologians have a black Christology. There are outstanding black theologians who are evangelicals. But what I'm talking about are those who hold to a black theology where everything they read, they deconstruct in terms of the plight of the black man. Okay? So in black Christology, Jesus came for the sole purpose of delivering minorities and standing up for the underprivileged, and radical black theologians will make Jesus black. Okay? He's not Jewish, he's black. Liberation theologians, they're Marxists, they're communists, who Jesus becomes the greatest Marxist revolutionary who ever lived. Okay? Gay theology, Jesus came to stand up for gay rights. And radical gay theologians will make Jesus a homosexual. Okay? But basically, it doesn't matter what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what the author says. It doesn't matter what the speaker says. What's more important is the listener and the listener's community. And so if they read everything in terms of their gay theology or their liberation theology or their black theology, so be it. That's what postmodernism is. Postmodernism, everything is up for grabs. There is no truth. There's no right way to interpret the Bible. So Matthew Fox, he got kicked out of the Catholic Church, now he's in the Anglican Church. His last Mass, the last Mass of his that I read about, today he was basically mixing a black Mass, a satanic Mass, a pagan Mass, in with a Catholic Mass. And, it's the same as these postmodernists who are taking goddess worship and Sophia, the female goddess of wisdom. And then postmodernism led to political correctness, whole political correct view. See, political correctness assumes that the radical liberal view is the correct view and there will be no thinking on this subject. You know, it assumes the correct view from the start. That it's a woman's right to have an abortion. That homosexuality is not a sin. Okay? It's just assumed that is right, and they just cannot tolerate. Anybody who disagrees gets laughed at, gets ridiculed. And so in the name of toleration, they cannot tolerate any non-postmodernist. Okay, we talked about what postmodernism is. Now, after the break, we'll take a break till 8 o'clock, and for the last hour, we'll try to refute postmodernism, and then how the Christians should respond to postmodernism.